All right. Welcome to the Dark Room. My name is Santi. I'm going to be doing the show today. Unfortunately, Sage will not be joining us. It looks like he came down maybe with a little cold. He's just not feeling very well, so that's okay. The show must go on. We will continue today. We're going to have a bit of a more kind of relaxed show. We're not really going to debate or talk about anything in particular. I figured today would be a good chance to just kind of sit back and maybe read a couple of creepypastas. So I have a couple selected here. I'm going to go through and just start going over some. I do have Smile Dog. I have The Rake. So I have a couple stories that I want to get into today. And so with that being said, let us get started. First, I'm going to have a bit of background music here. Let's see. There we go. Okay. So the first story that we have is Smile Dog. I first met in person with Mary E. in the summer of 2007. I had arranged with her husband of 15 years, Terrence, to see her for an interview. Mary had initially agreed. Since I was not a newsman, but rather an amateur writer gathering information for a few early college assignments and, if all went according to plan, some pieces of fiction. We scheduled the interview for a particular weekend when I was in Chicago on unrelated business, but at the last moment Mary changed her mind and locked herself in the couple's bedroom, refusing to meet with me. For half an hour I sat with Terrence as we camped outside the bedroom door. I listened and taking notes while he attempted fruitlessly to calm his wife. The things Mary said made little sense, but fit with the pattern I was expecting. Though I could not see her, I could tell from her voice that she was crying, and more often than not, her objections to speaking with me centered around an incoherent diatribe on her dreams, her nightmares. Terrence apologized profusely when he ceased the exercise and I did my best to take it in stride. Recall that I wasn't a reporter in search of a story, but merely a curious young man in search of information. Besides, I thought at the time, I could perhaps find another, similar case if I put my mind and resources to it. Mary E. was the sysop of a small Chicago-based bulletin board system in 1992 when she first encountered Smile Dog JPEG, and her life changed forever. She and Terrence had been married for only 5 months. Mary was one of an estimated 400 people who saw the image when it was posted as a hyperlink on the BBS, though she is the only one who has spoken openly about the experience. The rest have remained anonymous, or are perhaps dead. In 2005, when I was only in 10th grade, Smile.jpg was first brought to my attention by my burgeoning interest in web-based phenomena. Mary was the most often cited victim of what is sometimes referred to as Smile.dog. The being Smile.jpg is reputed to display. What caught my interest, other than the obvious macabre elements of the cyber legend and my proclivity towards such things, was the sheer lack of information, usually to the point that people don't believe it even exists other than as a rumor or hoax. It is unique because though the entire phenomenon centers on a picture file, that file is nowhere to be found on the internet. Certainly, many photo-manipulated simulacra litter the web, showing up with the most frequency on sites such as Imageboard 4chan. It is suspected these are fake because they do not have the effect the true smile.jpg is believed to have, namely sudden onset temporal lobe epilepsy and acute anxiety. This reported reaction in the viewer is one of the reasons the phantom-like smile.jpg is regarded with such disdain, since it is patently absurd. though depending on whom you asked, the reluctance to acknowledge Smile.jpg's existence might be just as much out of fear as it is of disbelief. Neither Smile.jpg nor SmileDog is mentioned anywhere on Wikipedia, though the website features articles on such other, perhaps more scandalous, shock sites. Any attempt to create a page pertaining to SmileDog.jpg is summarily deleted by any of the encyclopedia's many admins. Encounters with Smile.jpg are the stuff of internet legend. Mary E's story is not unique. There are univerified rumors of Smile.jpg showing up in the early days of OnSenate, and even one persistent tale that in 2002, a hacker flooded the forums of humor and satire websites something awful with a deluge of Smile.dog pictures, rendering almost half of the forum users at the time epileptic. It is also said that in the mid to late 90s, the Smile.jpg circulated on OnSenate and as an attachment of a chain email with the subject line, "Smile, God loves you." Yet despite the huge exposure these stunts would generate, there are very few people who admit to having experienced any of them, and no trace of the file or any link has ever been discovered. Those who claim to have seen SmileDog often weakly joke that they were far too busy to save a copy of the picture to their hard drive. However, all alleged victims offer the same description of the photo, a dog-like creature, usually described as appearing similar to a Siberian husky, illuminated by the flash of the camera, sits in a dim room, the only background detail that is visible being a human hand extending from the darkness near the left side of the frame. The hand is empty, but is usually described as beckoning. Of course, most attention is given to the dog or dog creature, as some victims are more certain than others about what they claim to have seen. The muzzle of the beast is reputedly split in a wide grin, revealing two rows of very white, very straight, very sharp, very human-looking teeth. This is, of course, not a description given immediately after viewing the picture, but rather a recollection of the victims, who claim to have seen the picture endlessly, repeated in their mind's eye during the time they are, in reality, having epileptic fits. These fits are reported to continue indeterminately, often while the victim sleeps, resulting in very vivid, disturbing nightmares. These may be treated with medication, though in some it is more effective than others. Mary E., I assumed, was not an effective medication. That was why after my visit to her apartment in 2007, I sent out feelers to several folklore and urban legend-oriented news groups, websites, and mailing lists, hoping to find the name of the supposed victim of Smile.jpg, who felt more interested in talking about his experiences. For a time, nothing happened, and at length, I forgot completely about my pursuits, since I had begun my freshman year of college and was quite busy. Mary contacted me via email, however, near the beginning of March 2008. Dear Mr. L, I am incredibly sorry about my behavior last summer when you came to interview me. I hope you understand that it was no fault of yours, but rather my own problems that led me to act as I did. I realized I could have handled the situation more decorously, however, I hope you will forgive me. At the time, I was afraid. You see, for 15 years, I have been haunted by Smile.jpg. SmileDog comes to me in my sleep every night. I know that sounds silly, but it is true. There is an ineffable quality about my dreams, my nightmares, that makes them completely unlike any real dreams I have ever had. I do not move and do not speak. I simply look ahead, and the only thing ahead of me is the scene from the horrible picture. I see the beckoning hand, and I see SmileDog. It talks to me. It is not a dog, of course, though I am not quite sure what it really is. It tells me it will leave me alone if only I do as it asks. All I must do, it says, is spread the word. That is how it phrases its demands, and I know exactly what it means. It wants me to show it to someone else. And I could. The week after my incident, I received in the mail a manila envelope with no return address. Inside was only a 3.5-inch floppy diskette. Without having to check, I knew precisely what was on it. I thought for a long time about my options. I could show it to a stranger, a coworker. I could even show it to Terrence. As much as the idea disgusted me. And what would happen then? Well, if Smile.dog kept its word, I could sleep. Yet if it lied, what would I do? And who was to say something worse would not come for me if I did, as the creature asked? So I did nothing for 15 years. Though I kept the diskette hidden amongst my things, every night for 15 years, Smile.dog has come to me in my sleep and demanded that I spread the word. For 15 years, I have stood strong, though there have been hard times. Many of my fellow victims on the BBS board where I first encountered Smile.jpg stopped posting. I heard some of them committed suicide. Others remain completely silent, simply disappearing off of the face of the web. They are the ones I worry about the most. I sincerely hope you will forgive me, Mr. L, but last summer when you contacted me and my husband about the interview, I was near the breaking point. I decided I was going to give you the floppy diskette. I did not care if Smile Dog was lying or not. I wanted it to end. You were a stranger, someone I had no connection with. And I thought I would not feel sorrow when you took the diskette as part of your research and sealed your fate. Before you arrived, I realized what I was doing, was plotting to ruin your life. I cannot stand the thought. In fact, I still cannot. I am ashamed, Mr. L, and I hope that this warning will dissuade you from further investigation of Smile.jpg. You may, in time... lost my place there. You may in time encounter someone who is, if not weaker than I, then wholly more depraved. Someone who will not hesitate to follow Smile Dog's orders. Stop while you are still whole. Sincerely, Mary E. Terrence contacted me later that month with the news that his wife had stopped living. While cleaning up the various things she left behind, closing email accounts, and the like, he happened upon the above message. He was a man in shambles. He wept as he told me to listen to his wife's advice. He found the diskette, he revealed, and burnt it until it was nothing but a stinking pile of blackened plastic. The part that most disturbed me, however, was how the diskette had hissed as it melted like some sort of animal, he said. I will admit that I was a little uncertain about how to respond to this. At first, I thought perhaps it was a joke, with the couple blatantly playing with the situation in order to get rise out of me. A quick check of several Chicago newspapers' online obituaries, however, proved that Mary E. was indeed dead. There was, of course, no mention of unaliving in the article. I decided that for a time, at least, I would not further pursue the subject of Smile.jpg, especially since I had finals coming up at the end of May. But the world has odd ways of testing us. Almost a full year after I'd returned from my disastrous interview with Mary E., I received another email. Hello. I found your email address through a mailing list. Your profile said you are interested in Smile Dog. I have saw it. It is not as bad as everyone says. I have sent it to you here, just spreading the word. The final line chilled me to the bone. According to my email client, there was one file attachment called Naturally Smile.jpg. I considered downloading it for some time. It was most likely a fake. I imagined, and even if it weren't, I was never wholly convinced of Smile.jpg's peculiar powers. Mary E.'s account had shaken me Yes, but she was probably mentally unbalanced anyway. After all, how could a simple image do that? Smile.jpg was said to accomplish. What sort of creature was it that could break one's mind with only the power of the eye? And if such things were patently absurd, then why did the legend exist at all? If I download the image, if I looked at it, and if Mary turned out to be correct, if Smile.dog came to me, my dreams demanding I spread the word, what would I do? Would I live my life as Mary had, fighting against the urge to give it until I died? Or would I simply spread the word, eager to be put to rest? And if I choose the latter route, how could I do it? Whom would it burden? Whom would I burden in turn? If I went through with my earlier intentions to write a short article about Smile.jpg, I decided I could attach it as evidence. And anyone who read the article, anyone who took interest, would be affected. And even assuming the Smile.jpg attached to the email was genuine, would I be capricious enough to save myself in that manner? Could I spread the word? Yes. Yes, I could. That was the story of Smile.dog. Smile.dog is a very creepy story. For anyone who has been interested in creepypasta and remembers them back when they were popular, this is a picture that was actually floating the web. Many of you should have seen this. It was, as the story describes, a picture of a Siberian husky with a human-like smile in a very dark background. I like this story because it's not some slasher and it's not some weird or crazed monster coming out to get you. It's just simply a file. Many of us end up getting emails and they warn us about these emails. Don't click these links, you know, phishing and scams and all of these things online. But some of us ignore or maybe don't know better and we end up clicking on those links. And that's what the story, that's why it's so interesting. Because if this was something that, you know, was real, there are people out there who'd probably fall for it. They'd probably fall for it and end up clicking on this link and be affected by the Smile.dog, which I don't want to say it's so much like a monster or a creature. Rather, I think this thing's more like a virus. After looking at it, it kind of just makes it its way into your head, into your psyche, and implants itself there and tells you what to do. It almost controls you. It takes over your life. It ruins your life. That's why I picked this story. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and do a little music break. I'm trying to find a song here. And when we get back, we are going to talk about The Rake. Let's see. What is a good song to put on? Hope everyone's doing okay. Still trying to find some topics here for the next show. Hopefully Sage will be all better then. He can join us and maybe we can get a couple guests in here so we can talk about a couple different things. But still trying to decide. Not sure if we want to go back and do some SCPs or if there's anything specific, you know. But of course, anyone that is listening, if you are able to reach out to us and you have some recommendations, please let us know. We would always love to do something that you guys are eager to listen to or to find out more about. All right, here we go. Just making sure. All right. Perfect. Found the song. We're going to go ahead and play that, and we will be right back after this song break. Please enjoy.
A 100 days have made me older since the last time that I saw your pretty face. A 1,000 lives have made me colder, and I don't think I can look at this the same. But all the miles that separate disappear now when I'm dreaming of your face. I'm here without you, baby.
tonight. It's only you and me. The miles just keep rolling as the people leave their way to say hello. I've heard this life is so
are back. Hope you guys enjoyed the song. Like I mentioned, now we're gonna go ahead and talk about The Rake. This is a really I want to say it's a pretty short story. There's a couple different logs and things about it, and some I don't even know how to call it, not adaptations, but there's some different like logs. So like a Mariner's log, a journal entry. I'm gonna read the actual story, but before I do that, I do want to read the overview about kind of like its relevance to Creepypasta. Not sure if you guys remember, it was a while back, but during our first show we talked a little bit about, you know, not hybrids, but we talked about humanoid creatures and cryptids, and we mentioned the Rake back when we were talking about the Wendigos and the Skinwalkers, because it's kind of similar, not so much as, you know, the background to it, but just the overall character, the overall I want to say the monster design, the way that the creature looks. It's very similar to, I want to say, more like a Wendigo, just because it's supposed to be this kind of tall and lanky and almost hairless, like a bald creature, with really long fingernails, like really sharp nails, almost like claws. That's why, kind of like a rake. That's why it gets its name. So I want to go ahead and read the overview first. Let's see. Mostly associated with the image of a bald, pale-skinned creature hunched at an angle with bright orb-like eyes staring into the camera, the Rake has become a staple creepypasta monster, adopted by many authors as shorthand for a creature resembling the one depicted in the photo and placed in various settings. During the summer of 2003, events in the northeastern United States involving a strange human-like creature sparked brief local media interest before an apparent blackout was enacted. Little or no information was left intact, as most online and written accounts of the creature were mysteriously destroyed. primarily focused in rural New York State, self-proclaimed witness told stories of their encounters with a creature of unknown origin. Emotions range from extremely traumatic levels of fright and discomfort to an almost childlike sense of playfulness and curiosity. While their published versions are no longer on record, the memories remain powerful. Several of the involved parties began looking for answers that year. In early 2006, the collaboration had accumulated nearly 2,000 documents dating between the 12th century and present day. Spanning four continents in almost all cases, the stories were identical. I've been in contact with a member of this group and was able to get some excerpts from their upcoming book. And so there's a lot here. There is a there's a suicide note. There is, let's see, there's a story here. It's from a witness. Kind of curious about this one. I might read this one after the actual story. So let's see. Let's get into the story of the rake. As the sun begins to set and the trees huddle together in small dark groups as if shielding themselves against the coming of night, you step quietly and quickly through the carpet of fallen leaves and stray twigs, recognizing the noting as you do every rustle, every snap of a branch created by your own footfalls. You note them so that you can distinguish them from the other sounds, the soft rustling of leaves, the crack of bracken somewhere behind you. You increase your speed, knowing that night is not the only thing drawing closer. The sound increases as your pace and heartbeats quicken. You turn and in fading light catch a single glimpse of the hunched, crawling thing that is pursuing you, creeping forward like an animal and yet looking so horribly human. You only caught a single glimpse, but then you start to run. One glimpse is enough. So that there is the actual creepypasta. Let's see. I want to, like I said, it's pretty short. It's about this creature. And for anyone that looks at the rake or looks up an image of the rake, you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. I do want to read this one here called From a Witness, 2006. It's also about the rake. 3 years ago, I had just returned from a trip from Niagara Falls with my family for the 4th of July. We were all very exhausted after a long day of driving, so my husband and I put the kids right to bed and called it a night. At about 4 a.m., I woke up thinking my husband had gotten up to use the restroom. I used that moment to steal back the sheets, only to wake him in the process. I apologized and told him I thought he got out of bed. When he turned to face me, he gasped and pulled his feet up from the end of the bed so quickly his knees almost knocked me out of the bed. He then grabbed me and said nothing. After adjusting to the dark for a half a second, I was able to see what caused the strange reaction. At the foot of the bed, sitting and facing away from us, there was what appeared to be a naked man or a large, hairless dog of some sort. Its body position was disturbing and unnatural, as if it had been hit by a car or something. For some reason, I was not instantly frightened by it, but more concerned as to its condition. At this point, I was somewhat under the assumption that we were supposed to help him. My husband was peering over his arm and knee, tucked into the fetal position, occasionally glancing at me before returning to the creature. In a flurry of motion, the creature scrambled around the side of the bed and then crawled quickly in a failing sort of motion right along the bed until it was less than a foot from my husband's face. The creature was completely silent for about 30 seconds, or probably closer to 5. It just seemed like a while. Just looking at my husband, the creature then placed its hand on his knee and ran into the hallway leading to the kids' room. I screamed and ran for the light switch, planning to stop him before he hurt my children. When I got to the hallway, the light from the bedroom was enough to see it crouching and hunched over about 20 feet away. He turned around and looked directly at me, covered in blood. I flipped the switch on the wall and saw my daughter, Clara. The creature ran down the stairs while my husband and I rushed to help our daughter. She was very badly injured and spoke only once more in her short life. She said, "He is the rake." My husband drove his car into a lake that night while rushing our daughter to the hospital. He did not survive. Being a small town, news got around pretty quickly. The police were helpful at first, and the local newspaper took a lot of interest as well. However, the story was never published, and the local television news never followed up either. For several months, my son Justin and I stayed in a hotel near my parents' house. After we decided to return home, I began looking for answers myself. I eventually located a man in the next town over who had a similar story. We got in contact and began talking about our experiences. He knew of two other people in New York who had seen the creature we now refer to as the Rake. It took the four of us about two solid years of hunting on the internet and writing letters to come up with a small collection of what we believe to be accounts of the Rake. None of them gave any details, history, or follow-up. One journal had an entry involving the creature in its first three pages and never mentioned it again. A ship's log explained nothing of the encounter, saying only that they were told to leave by the Rake. That was the last entry in the log. There were, however, many instances where the creature visit was one of a series of visits that the same person, multiple people, also mentioned being spoken to, my daughter included. This led us to wonder if the Rake had visited any of us before our last encounter. I set up a digital recorder near my bed and left it running all night, every night, for 2 weeks. I would tediously scan through the sounds of me rolling around in my bed each day when I woke up. By the end of the second week, I was quite used to the occasional sound of sleep while blurring through the recording at 8 times the normal speed. This still took almost an hour every day. On the first day of the third week, I thought I heard something different. What I found was a shrill voice. It was the Rake. I can't listen to it long enough to even begin to transcribe it. I haven't let anyone listen to it yet. All I know is that I've heard it before, and I now believe that it spoke when it was sitting in front of my husband. I don't remember hearing anything at the time, but for some reason, the voice of the recorder immediately brings me back to that moment. The thoughts that must have gone through my daughter's head make me very upset. I have not seen the Rake since. He ruined my life, but I know that he has been in my room while I slept. I know and fear that one night I'll wake up to see him staring at me. Wow. So that is a witness testimony. Someone that experienced or had a visit from the Rake. That's actually kind of better than the actual creepypasta story itself. Very creepy indeed. All right, let's see. Now that we have talked about the Rake and Smile Dog, let us find another creepypasta that we can go over. I did have one in mind. This one I will mention. It's been a while since I've read it. I'm going to go over the overview. Is also kind of a short story, but it's very creepy. It is Eyeless Jack. I'm going to kind of go through it and Disney it, because I remember there are some parts here that were quite graphic, but we're going to go ahead and have another little song break, just a break between stories, and when we come back, we're going to take a look at Eyeless Jack. Let's see. Getting the song ready. Making sure no ads play while we take the little break. All right. Man, so many ads. Since it is so short, I'm probably going to do the same thing with this story, kind of read an overview. It looks like it's broken down into a couple different stories, so we'll take a look at that. We are a little short on time here, so this may or may not be our last story of the day, but we'll go ahead and take a look. All right, we will be right back.
The year that disco died, and you two was in high school, thank the Lord that they survived. Got my first taste on a Seeger 45, and since that kiss I rocked all day and partied every night. We still argue about who's better, Elton John or Billy Joel. We still wonder if Kurt really wrote the song she's singing, ho. No, we'll never stop believing it's the journey of our lives. So won't you help me pour some sugar on these memories? star. Grunge was everything, at least it was to me. A marshal in my Chevy Sprint just running down a dream. We still argue about who's better, Motley Crue or GNR. We still can't believe Van Halen turned into Van Hagar. Now the record shops are gone for good and no one seems to care. But me and you and all our friends keep living on that prayer. Singing, long live rock, long live roll, long live big guitars and music for the soul. Saying, don't give up, don't grow old. Long live crazy nights and records made of gold. Long live rock and roll. Woke up in Tennessee. No matter where I roam tonight, I'm chasing history. We still argue about who's better, the Beatles or the Stones. They're forever 27, Jimmy, Janis, Brian, Jones. And we stand here in their memory, cause the songs they still survive. So throw your lighters up and darling, sing with me tonight. Come on! Long live rock, long live roll. Music for the soul.
All right, we are back. Hope you guys enjoyed that song. Now we're going to go ahead and take a look at Eyeless Jack. I was trying to see if there was another creepypasta we might be able to cover today. However, there are some that I do want to go over at some point, maybe in another show, but I really need to go over them first because they need to be Disney down quite a bit. So we're going to just stick to Eyeless Jack. There are quite a few stories on here. Quite a few little logs and entries. So kind of like the rake, we're going to go over a couple of them. Just to set the mood, we're going to go over this one here first. And then we will go over to another creepy story of Eyeless Jack. So let's get started. You wake up alone in your room, disturbed by some noise close to your bed. At first, when you open your eyes, all you see is darkness and black. You stare straight up and listen, straining your ears to pick up the faintest and smallest of sounds, the sounds on the edge of hearing, the sounds of noise being withheld, of something deliberately trying to be silent, to stalk and to hunt. Your eyes begin to adjust. You still see only darkness, but now, with terror, you begin to realize it is not the darkness of the room, but the dark, empty void staring out from the hollow eye sockets of the thing leaning over your bed. Overview. One of the most notorious mainstream creepypasta villains, Eyeless Jack is a humanoid entity who removes the organs of his victims and eats them. The character's moniker comes from the fact that he appears in a hoodie wearing a blue mask, open at the eye sockets, which though they are leaking a black fluid, are entirely empty. In later fan-made variations of the original story, Eyeless Jack is commonly found standing at the foot of the bed or leaning over his sleeping victims. All right, this one is an Eyeless Jack creepy story. Hello, my name is Mitch. I'm here to tell you guys about my experience I had. I don't know if it was paranormal or whatever stupid words people use to describe supernatural phenomenon, but after that thing visited me, I believe in the paranormal trash now. A week after I moved in with my brother, Edwin, after my house was foreclosed, I finished unpacking. Edwin liked the idea of me moving in, since we had not seen each other for 10 years. So I was excited too. I soon fell asleep after I moved in. After that first week, I heard rustling noises coming from outside at about 1 in the morning. I thought it was a raccoon, so I ignored it and tried to fall asleep. The next morning, I told Edwin about it, and he agreed. The next night, however, I thought I heard a window opening and a loud thump, as if something entered my room. I darted up and looked around my room, but saw nothing. The next morning, Edwin dropped his coffee cup when he saw me. He held up a nearby mirror, and I saw myself. I had a large gash in my left cheek. After I was rushed to the hospital, my doctor told me that I must have been sleepwalking, but then he showed me something that made my blood turn cold. He lifted up my shirt to reveal a sewn-up incision where my kidneys were. I stared into his eyes, mine whitening. "You somehow lost your left kidney last night," my doctor told me. "We don't know how, though. Sorry, Mitch." The next night was my breaking point. Around midnight, I woke up to see a truly horrifying sight. I was staring face to face with a creature with a black hoodie and dark blue mask with no nose or mouth staring down at me. The thing that scared me the most was that it had no eyes, just empty black sockets. The creature also had some black substance dripping from its sockets. I grabbed a camera from the nearby mantle and took a picture. Immediately after taking the shot, the creature lunged at me and tried to claw open my chest to get my lungs. I stopped it by kicking it in the face. As I ran out of my room, I grabbed my wallet. I would need the money. I ran out of my brother's house and into the night. Eventually, I ended up in the woods near Edwin's house and tripped on a rock. I fell unconscious and woke up in the hospital. My doctor, the same one who treated me before, entered the room. "I have good news and bad news, Mitch," my doctor started. "The good news is that you had minor injuries and your parents are going to pick you up." I sighed with relief. "The bad news is that your brother has been killed by something. Sorry." My parents took me back to Edwin's house to collect my remaining belongings, which I did. Upon entering my room, I was scared but remained calm. I grabbed my camera and then stopped dead in my tracks. In the hallway leading to my room, I saw Edwin's body and something small lying next to it. I retrieved it up and entered my parents' car, not mentioning Edwin's body. I looked at the thing I had picked up and nearly vomited. I was holding my stolen half-eaten kidney with some black substance on it. That is the story of Eyeless Jack, and it, man, really creepy. Very disturbing. I think we've gotten into this a lot with Sage, but it's always something about a creature or just something, someone being in your room while you sleep. I feel like we've talked about it, or maybe not, or maybe just not enough, but think about it. You're home alone and you're sleeping. You start to hear noises, and then there's just something in your room. Many stories play off of this fear, the fear of the dark, the fear of being alone. That is what kind of gets you. Because when you're alone, when you're in the dark, you're vulnerable. You can't see. There's no one there to help you. If you're alone, depending where you are, there's no one there to even hear you shout for help. It's just you and whatever is there with you. That is what this story plays off of. And in my opinion, my God, does it do a really good job. Let's see. Trying to take a look and see what else I can kind of gather from it. There is a little portion that talks about appearances and origins. This is kind of interesting. Let's get into it. In most depictions, Eyeless Jack wears a blue mask and a hoodie. There are two cavernous black holes where the eyes should be, while the rest of the facial features are either missing entirely or only suggested in shape. The image most commonly associated with the character is a photograph taken from below, as if looking up at a blank-faced figure with only two gaping holes where his eyes should be. This photograph, which predates production of the actual story of Eyeless Jack, was created on November 19, 2009 by two DeviantArt users, NickTZ408 and Pirate Cashew. The image was then posted by a user calling himself Arnon on the 4chan amongst a collection of creepy images and crusaders taken from video games that he claimed to have found on 4chan. The collection was labeled as Nightmare Fuel and significantly featured the DeviantArt image of the as-yet-nameless character. The image was posted on June 7, 2010, and would not be attached to the story until February of 2012. Like many creepypasta characters, there was an ekphrastic element to Eyeless Jack's creation, meaning that the actual story of Eyeless Jack came after or was inspired by the image. The story was eventually posted to Creepypasta by a user named Azulf5000 on February 25th, 2012, and was presented as a first-person account of an encounter with Eyeless Jack, detailing how he had stolen and at least partially eaten his kidney. The story gained in popularity, helped by the reading of a YouTube by Mr. Creepypasta in March of 2012. Interestingly, the original Creepypasta was removed by its creator in the wake of the original Jeff the Killer story being removed, with its author expressing a desire to remove it himself before the admins of the site could. Interesting. That's another story that kind of plays off of the same fear, Jeff the Killer. That story is just about the same. Just some psycho who ends up going into sneaking into your room while you're asleep, only to tell you to go back to sleep and then end you. So, very interesting indeed. All right, that's all I have for Eyeless Jack. We are running short on time here, so we're not going to get into another one. I just wanted to talk for a little bit about, well, maybe what we can do for the next show. I obviously would want to talk about this with my co-host and see if he agrees, but I kind of enjoyed the last show that we did. I know it's been a while. It's been a little rocky. I know last week we didn't have a show, and the week before that, I think it's been kind of all over the place, but we're starting to get more organized, more kind of back into things. So I'm hoping that we can do a couple more shows with some more guests. I really enjoyed the one where we had Gunner and Willie here with us, so that, you know, just it was more than, you know, going over stories and comparing stories, just talking, you know, talking about the creepy and talking about all, like, you know, these creepy stories, these different things that are found in, like, either pop culture or video games. I'm thinking we can do another show like that. I'm kind of playing with the idea of actually, you know, going away from the myths and the legends and all this fake stuff, and maybe getting some guests here that can talk about some actual encounters that they've had, you know, maybe do some ghost stories, talk about some personal experiences where, you know, even if you believe or not, you can share some first person accounts of things that have happened. And I mean, I've been kind of playing with that, because although I will say that I feel like I'm both a skeptic and a believer when it comes to some of these scary things. I'll say mainly like ghosts and spirits and things like that. You know, I don't think obviously that the rake or any of these creatures actually exist. There may be people out there who disagree, but I sure don't. You know, I feel like that's all just made up. And clearly the stories themselves are, but, you know, not so much the rake, but humanoid creatures. But, you know, I do think that there are some things out there. And when it comes to, you know, spirits and ghosts, I will say that I've had some experiences that I don't know how to explain them. Every time something happens, I'd like to find an actual explanation as to why it has happened, instead of saying it's a ghost, it's something paranormal. But I've definitely had some experiences that I've yet to figure out why they happened, how they happened. Other than there's just no explanation, it's a mystery. And so I'm thinking that maybe for the next show, we can get a couple guests and actually just talk about some stories, have a relaxed, you know, a chill podcast, a relaxed show where we just kind of hang back and talk, joke around a little bit and share those experiences, you know, see, obviously if there's some of the people that join us, you know, other than like obviously having their own experiences, are they skeptics? Do they believe? Do they not believe? So kind of playing around with that idea. I think that would be really cool, really awesome. Obviously, like I mentioned, if any of you want to contact me or Sage or are able to contact us directly and want to share any thoughts or any suggestions, we're more than open to it. The reason we keep going back to a lot of these old topics is because there's just so much we can cover when it comes to creepypasta. There's a whole website where you can read a ton of different ones, some really popular like the Ben Drowned stories or Sally, things like that, and some that are not so well known. So that's why, you know, these topics are very broad. There's so much that we can go into. And who knows, we might be able to do that. I know some of the guests we've had before have mentioned that they would love to come back to talk about SCPs, so that's something else. But just planning out some ideas for the next show, and just want to keep you guys entertained, having fun, talking about these creepy and scary things. There's just something about it that is so fascinating to me. So I had a lot of fun today just kind of reading some of these stories. It's been a while. I've read these stories a really long time ago. I want to say I kind of grew up with them back when I was in school. These things were very popular, and a lot of my friends back then would read them and share them, and you know, it was kind of all over the place. So it's really cool to kind of get back into it, you know, reading these stories again and sharing them with you guys. Some of you may have already heard them or read them before. Who knows? Maybe just like me, it's been a while. So getting to hear them again might be cool. But yeah, with that being said, I think I'm going to go ahead and play the last song of the show and end things there. Hopefully you guys had a good time today. Hopefully it was a good show for you. I'm hoping we'll have Sage good to go for the next show, and we'll see if we do the scary experiences show or if we do something else. Not too sure, just kind of planting some ideas there. But thank you for those of you who tuned in. I hope you enjoyed. Let me go ahead and find a good song to end things off of and call it a day. We'll wrap it up. Let's see what I got for you guys. This was all right. This is a good one. Make sure there's no ads. Of course there are. Okay. Thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy this song, and we will see you during our next show. Thank you guys. Goodbye. If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says she loves me. Well, you got your reasons, and you've got your lies, and you've got your manipulations. They cut me down to size. We'll be right back.
best driver. Shows happiness.